All right, your morning show is on the radio. Good morning, Kelly Perry.
Good morning, Brandon Baxter.
Here we are. Today is Wednesday, April the 1st of 2020.
This has been the biggest prank yet.
Oh my gosh, no joke. This is supposed to be April Fool's Day, but I guess maybe, I don't know, some people aren't going to celebrate today. But maybe the jokes make us feel better. I don't know.
It does me.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I do want to say your hair looks nice today.
What, since I had a baseball hat on yesterday, you didn't think that?
No, it's just April Fool's.
Hey!
Thanks for waking up and getting the day started with us, y'all. We're going to bring you those good vibes as we go throughout the morning.
Brandon Baxter in the morning. Let's get you caught up on what's trending with Brandon Baxter in the morning.
All right, here's your morning catch-up. You know?
Got it.
Not to be confused with mayonnaise.
Thank you. Was that your first joke today?
Yeah, and I hope to get better. All right, COVID-19 numbers worldwide. There are now 862,000 cases of COVID-19. Across the world, 42,000 people have passed away. In the U.S., we are now up to 188,592 cases. In the U.S., 4,056 people have died. Do you realize that number's jumped by 1,000?
Right.
In New York, they still have the most cases of anywhere in the country, 75,000 cases. New Jersey, 18,000 cases. So in Arkansas, we're sitting at 523 cases of COVID-19. 8 people have passed away across the state. And across the state, we have 75 counties, and so far, 53 of those counties actually have COVID-19. 62 people are hospitalized, 21 using ventilators at this point. So as far as shutting down the country, it's kind of crazy. There are a lot of people who have been ordered to stay at home to basically combat the spread. 265 million Americans are told not to leave their house, 80% of the population. So in the U.S., 32 states are on lockdown. Arkansas is not exactly on lockdown yet, but we do have social distancing and a lot of changes. So experts are now predicting that because of COVID-19, even with the social distancing, we could see anywhere from 100,000 to 240,000 people die. The CDC is considering recommendations that all Americans start wearing those masks in public. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not talking about the surgical masks. These are more of the cloth masks, but still. And the idea behind that is if you have it, you're not transmitting it.
Right.
You're not really necessarily trying to protect yourself as much as not continue the spread. And because of all the social distancing and the quarantining and isolation, alcohol sales are up in the U.S.
Wow.
Alcohol sales have risen by 55%
since
coronavirus. So,
man,
there you go. And now you're caught up on what's trending this morning with COVID-19. Again, not exactly what we feel like is the most exciting thing to give you, but the stats that are important to know as we kick off the morning.
Brandon Baxter in the morning. Let's throw one back on this day in country music with Brandon Baxter in the morning.
All right, so we're going way back this time, because this is a fun song to play. The year was 1980, and Conway Twitty had the number one song in country music on this day.
Lay it down and softly whisper.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty love words in your ear.
Oh, yeah.
Lay it down and tell you all the things a woman loves to hear. I'll let you know how much it means just having you around. Lay it down.
Here we go.
Lay it down. There's so many ways your sweet
you did hit the note.
Made this house into a home. You've got a way of doing little things that turn me on. Like standing in the kitchen in your faded cotton gown. With your hair all up in curlers, I still love to lay you down. Lay it down and softly whisper pretty love words in your ear. Lay it down and tell you all the things a woman loves to hear. I'll let you know how much it means just having you around. Oh, darling, how I love to lay you down.
It was Kelly's first dance song at her wedding.
When a whole lot of these
I don't know, man. Whatever you do, I don't know. We probably don't want to know. Conway Twitty, I'd Love to Lay You Down, was number one on this day in 1980.
Brandon Baxter in the morning.
Y'all have messed me up on that name because now I'm having to think about it, so now I'm going to avoid it.
So now it's just Blake, Shelton, and Gwen.
And Gwen. Stefani.
There you go.
Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stefani. Instead of Gwen Stefani.
Stefani. I've said it for 20 years that way, though. So when you do something for so long, you just start thinking that's the way it is until people call you out for it.
Several.
But they've listened for all this time and heard me say it like that and never said anything.
Yeah.
What makes people then one day decide, you know what? I think I'm going to tell him he's an idiot.
I don't know. You know. Maybe he's just all this stuff going on. It just makes us want to be more honest.
There you go. Honesty is the best policy unless it hurts my feelings.
What's happening with your favorite celebrities? Brandon Baxter in the morning's got you gossip.
Well, Instagram is popular. Facebook is popular. Twitter is popular. All the different social media deals are popular. But now TikTok really seems like it's poised to take over, right? Mm-hmm. All these celebrities are on there. Kelly was showing me videos of Jessica Alba dancing.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent the evening watching those. But now we have, a new star, movie star, comedian, actor who has showed up on Instagram in nothing but what appears to be some boxer briefs and some cowboy boots.
Well, who is it?
Enter Jack Black.
Oh.
Who's over the top and silly and funny, but he thinks at this point with all of the stress that we should just find time to laugh. So he shows up in, again, the look of boxer briefs and cowboy boots and sunglasses and starts dancing as if he's Michael Jackson.
Oh.
Legs up in the air, moving around, all kinds of crazy stuff. So if you want to be entertained, maybe you want to laugh this morning through TikTok, go check out Jack Black.
Speaking of being entertained, got your gossip on Lindsay Lohan. So it's been about 10 years since she last had a pop song out, right? Yeah. Well, she's announcing that she's back and she's returning to music. She posted this cryptic video on Instagram. It opens in this dark room. It's filled with several television sets, all showing images of her throughout her career.
Right.
So like paparazzi shots, scenes from a music video, all while this distorted song is playing in the background. So she also included a link to a digitally, like to pre-save her new single that's going to come out.
Huh.
So Lindsay Lohan, guys, she's back. So if you want to see and try to decipher her video, we have it up on the Brandon Baxter in the Morning blog.
And got you guys up on The Rock, who has announced that he is ready to come back with the sequel. I mean, The Rock is the biggest movie star in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy to think that he came from WWE. But The Rock has been big with the Fast and Furious movies and all the different stuff he's done with that. And now he's announced that there will be a sequel to Hobbs and Shaw. So if you're a fan of that movie franchise, if you're a fan of The Rock, get ready for that. He said at this point, they don't know exactly what they're going to do. They have to get the creative right for the movie, but they know they do want to go in and do a sequel. So good news there for fans of The Rock. And of course, every morning here on Brandon Baxter in the Morning, we got you gossip.
Brandon Baxter in the Morning.
That's one of those songs, man, that I would play as I go to YouTube at night and my wife is ready to watch something funny and I start playing ballads.
It'd be another edition of Brandon Cries.
Mm-mm, I don't want to talk about it. Because guess what?
It happened last night?
Gosh, maybe.
With this video?
No, not with that video. Because that video will get you. Because it's sad. If you haven't seen the video to that song, it's basically people holding up photos of like family members who have passed away.
Yeah.
And some of them get very emotional. Because it's all about, hey, you know, I miss you and all that kind of stuff. But last night, Kai was going through Disney Plus, right? We always do Disney before bed. And a lot of times it's shows like Jesse, Raven's Home, stuff like that, right? Good Luck Charlie, we watch all those shows. But last night he went to the movie section and started watching a movie I've never seen.
I already know that it's going to be a movie that everyone has seen but you, but what is it? I'm going to yell at you.
It's a cartoon. It's a cartoon movie.
Is it The Lion King that you haven't seen yet?
No, it's not that.
I already know. Just tell me, because I'm already going to be upset.
It's the one with all the balloons in it.
Oh, Up.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's going to destroy you. Did you watch the whole thing?
I didn't get all the way through it.
Don't do it.
So let me tell you where we pick it up, because I guess he had been watching a little bit of it before, so he picks it back up like halfway through. And the very first scene I see is, what's the old man's name? Mr. Frederick?
I forget. It's been a second since I've seen it.
So it's the old man and his young wife when they were young. And then it goes through, like, for 3 or 4 minutes, you see the progression of their life where the baby doesn't happen and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And then he's there with her in the hospital bed, kisses her on the forehead, and then it's her funeral. Holy goodness.
I know.
I said, Kai, why are we watching this?
Did he like it? Did he enjoy it?
I guess he does, but it's like, you guys get emotional if I play ballads and we're over here watching cartoon characters die. How is it that you can watch a cartoon and somehow be drawn in by the animation to the emotion of these characters?
Because the people that are behind the scenes are brilliant.
Because like the idea of him getting older, and then like literally when we think about, you know, grandparents or great grandparents aging, I don't know why they kind of all end up looking the same, but they kind of do.
No, I get it.
So this character, you know, he had the big glasses on and he just looks like an old man. But I'm like, he looks, for a cartoon, it's so
relatable.
It's so real. And then when he's there and they've been together for all their lives and he kisses her on the forehead and basically is saying goodbye, I'm like, what the heck? Why are those Disney movies so freaking sad?
They can get you.
Why is it?
I don't know. And I think it's as we get older, they get more sad.
Yeah, because we're getting closer to the old man.
That's why you were crying so hard.
Like, oh my, that's going to be me. They all put those hats on. Their pants are pulled up too far. They sit on the porch with nothing to do.
Big old glasses.
But when they're getting ready to take his house and they knock over his mailbox that he and his wife had put up. Oh my gosh.
I know.
It gets you. That's why I enjoy movies like Dumb and Dumber with fart jokes and stupid stuff like that.
I'm with you. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
So I'm going to watch those tonight. You know who would think Dumb and Dumber's hilarious? Guy.
Oh, he would love it.
I don't think he's ever seen it.
My kids liked it.
You think it's okay? Like, are there bad words in it?
I have to think about it. I'm sure there might be a couple of things that might make your wife a little uncomfortable if he was sitting in the room.
Of course.
But it is funny.
It's real funny. So we'll have to watch that when she goes somewhere. She really goes a lot of places. She's miserable.
Yeah, good luck with that.
She's miserable right now because her escape from like everything, you know, because they do homeschool and then I'm gone all day. And then when I get home, she's ready to leave.
Right.
She wants to get out of the house. Now there's nowhere to go.
I know.
She's like, all of my favorite stores are closed. We'll get to cleaning this house then.
Brandon. Oh my goodness.
Oh, Brandon Baxter in the morning.
There's a couple of wild coronavirus stories that are out there today. There's one story on this group of college students from Austin, Texas that decided they wanted to charter a plane to go to Mexico in the middle of a pandemic. 70 people jumped on the chartered flight. Guess what?
What?
28 came back positive for COVID-19.
Good job, guys.
Now they're having to social distance and isolate themselves, quarantine themselves. But of the 70, 28 came back. They were on a plane together. Can you imagine?
I bet more end up getting it.
How could they not?
Yeah.
So that's a wild story that's out today. Also, Carnival, the corporation who does all the cruise ships, they've said, and this is wild, man, they said there are 6,000 people stranded at sea right now on cruises that can't come back home due to the pandemic.
How mentally would you be on a cruise ship right now?
I'd be done.
Oh my goodness.
I'm scared of a cruise ship anyway. I know people who go on those and they love them. They're like, oh, it's the greatest vacation. You don't know you're on the water, blah, blah, blah. But,
yeah. But when everybody's sick.
Yeah. Or they're just saying, even if people around you aren't sick, you're just stuck there.
Gosh.
Like you needed to get home. Like the idea about the vacation that's so great is it goes for a certain number of days. And yeah, it's kind of sad to go home, but at least you're back into a routine.
Or if you have children at home.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, what if?
Yeah.
What if you went out there on a cruise and it's just you and your person and then all of a sudden your kids are at home and you're stranded at sea?
Oh my goodness.
Is that a wild story?
Yes.
Have you ever done a cruise?
Mm-hmm.
You have?
A while back, yeah.
Where'd you go?
We went to Cabo.
How was it?
It was awesome. We loved it.
Was it really that relaxing?
Yeah.
Because you see them and they're so huge and people say, oh, it's just like a city and you don't even know. And
it's true. You don't realize that you're on a ship. Now, there's stories where you can be eating or, you know, dining one night and you kind of have some rough waters and you kind of feel it when you're eating, like if you're sitting down. But it's not, I mean, kind of depends on who you are, but we liked it.
I'd be scared to death.
I know.
You know the anxiety I would have? Like, it's one thing for me to get on a plane, right? And I know, like, in 3 hours or whatever, I'm off the plane and I get to stand on the ground again.
Maybe you could start, like, on a riverboat. Like, it's just a dinner on a riverboat. And then you can work your way up, you know, starting next year.
I get nervous if I go out on a regular boat on a lake or a river.
Can't you swim?
I can swim, but I don't want to swim a lake. Do you want to swim across a lake?
No.
Because I just start thinking, what if I get tired?
Are there some type of fish with teeth?
Yeah, like a piranha. There's no piranhas around here?
Not in lakes.
I'm just telling you, anytime I've gone out, because like Leslie's dad took us out on his boat on the Arkansas River one time. We were down there by Pine Bluff. We're on a freaking river. Like if I fall out, I'm just gone. Just done. And he's all kicked back, relaxed, and just, you know how people drive where they just have one arm on the steering wheel and they're like, yeah.
Yeah. Typically, the way you roll your window down. You want to drive, but that you don't drive.
Because I don't look right doing that. Mm-hmm. I can't do like pull up at somebody. Yeah, what's up, girl? You know, that kind of deal. Well, he was doing the yeah, what's up, girl on the boat. Oh, okay. But there was no girls around.
Right.
He was just hot dogging. You know, lips, chips, waves. I'm like, you better stop this thing right now. Because if I can see the other end, if I can see the shore, I'm halfway okay.
So you never need to go deep sea fishing.
Heck no, I ain't going there. Ain't going to happen. I ain't doing it. I profess this morning. My feet are planted firmly on the ground.
Brandon Baxter in the morning.
I know this sounds crazy. Believe me, I know it.
It's crazy.
That sounds kind of crazy.
You must be crazy.
And people are crazy.
So right now we're all learning what is and isn't an essential business right now, right?
Oh, yeah.
And apparently being a drug dealer is considered non-essential, even if basically every drug user out there would probably disagree.
Okay.
But the police in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, started following a 29-year-old guy for aggressive driving. And as they watched, he made a bunch of stops to sell drugs.
Oh, wow.
Well, they eventually pulled him over and found a bunch of illegal substances and cash in the car, and he was charged with drug trafficking. And since drug dealing is a non-essential business in Ontario during the pandemic, he also got a ticket that carries a $750 fine.
Ooh, that's a big fine.
But speaking of fines, did I tell you about the time I got fined by the police officer who was a cannibal?
No, I haven't heard this one.
Yeah, it cost me an arm and a leg.
That's bad.
And there is even more proof that people are crazy.
This is the K-Fine Breakfast Club, live at Nutrition Hub of Jonesboro, powered by Families, Inc. Now back to Brandon Baxter and Kelly Perry.
Well, due to social distancing, we're not live this morning on location, but our friends at the Nutrition Hub have great deals for you. Curbside pickup, even delivery. You can find out more when you go and search the Nutrition Hub Jonesboro on Facebook. And don't forget the Healthy Hub in Paragould as well. We have a special guest joining us on the phone. He is social distancing as well. Dan Fuller joins us. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm good, Brandon. How about you and Kelly?
We're great, man. You been out driving trucks lately?
Yes, I drive on a daily basis. I didn't drive last night because we're doing a donation drop-off this morning.
So let's talk about how different being a truck driver is right now with coronavirus and COVID-19. Is it a lot different in your world?
It really is, Brandon. Even the truck stops are practicing the social distancing. They've been told to stay open, of course, by the president.
Right.
Because, you know, we're vital to the American people to get their goods to them.
Right.
So we have to be able to get our food and diesel. But we're still doing the carryout service at the truck stops just like everybody else is in the restaurant.
So a lot of times, though, you know, you go into those truck stops. I love stopping at truck stops when I'm on the road because it's like your little piece for a second. You know, you get out, you get to kind of stretch and spend some time. And for me, I just walk around and look at stuff when I'm in a truck stop.
You can still kind of do that. They just don't want you to congregate and stop and three or four of you talk, you know.
You mentioned the supplies. Obviously, we've seen people running in for Lysol, the cleaning wipes and toilet paper and all that stuff. Have you seen the effect on that through your industry of trying to get these goods shipped to the stores because so many people have gone in and bought stuff in bulk?
Yes, we have. And we understand people got really frightened, scared about when all this started. But in reality, if people would just give us two or three days and not hoard the stuff, we could restock the shelves in all of America in two or three days.
And see, I think that's so that's so important for people to hear that the supply is still there. We just, you know, the stores all gauge everything on what the typical sales look like, not what happens when people go in and they're panicking.
Yes. And that's what people don't really understand is, you know, there's a lot of toilet paper made right here in Arkansas,
Wisconsin.
So it's not out of state overseas. Most of it is right here.
Didn't realize that. So XPO Logistics, explain what XPO Logistics does as a business.
Well, we deliver freight of all kinds globally. We're about 85,000 employees globally.
Wow.
And we have about, I'm going to say, 20,000 trucks.
Wow, that's crazy. So
we are an expedite. We are containers. We're semi-trailers. We do it a little bit of everything.
And all over the country?
All over the country, all over the world.
So you guys at XPO Logistics have teamed up with our friends at Central Baptist Church in Jonesboro, and you're doing a deal today because we know there are people who have needs that need to be met right now. So tell us about the event that you guys are holding today from 8 until 5.
Well, what we're doing is, matter of fact, I'm sitting in the truck right now. As soon as this is over, I'm headed towards Central Baptist.
Can you give me one of those? Can you give me a toot toot real quick? Yes! I used to love doing that as a kid.
He just moved his arm up and down, just letting you know.
I used to do that. We drive by, man.
I know, we did too.
We're going to be at 3707 Harrisburg Road there at the Central Baptist Church in Jonesboro. And we will be collecting goods for diapers, bottled water, canned goods, non-perishable items, toiletries, garbage bags, paper items, plates, napkins, styrofoam cups, clothing items. We'd like for those to be new, if possible. Can openers, pet supplies, and on the pet supplies, only new on those.
Right.
And we even take cash donations. The church will take care of those. The XPO won't have nothing to do with the cash donations. So, and what we're going to do is hopefully fill this truck and maybe one more today.
Wow, that'd be awesome.
And if we can do that, or whatever we do, we've got some supplies already right here with us. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow the church will start distributing out to people in need.
I think it's awesome. You know, and there's so many people we've heard over the last number of days. City government, Mayor Harold Perrin and Craighead County Judge Marvin Day, they've been talking about how there are so many people who want to find a way to help, and they're calling the number trying to figure out how they can help. Mm-hmm. This is a way that they can help and actually drop stuff off today from 8 until 5.
Yes, it's actually 8 till 5, and we'll make it happen one way or the other. If you've got supplies or something and maybe just can't get there, we will try to get them picked up. If it's possible, I'd like to give out a couple of phone numbers to people.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, well, my number, Danny Fuller, 870-219-2281. And Mr. Bill Panic at the church, Dr. Panic, is 870-935-1950. And we will make sure that any donations get to the appropriate people. That's what this is all about. It'll be Jonesboro, Paragould, Brooklyn, anybody that was affected by the tornado.
Right. Man, we appreciate what you guys are doing with XPO Logistics, and always it's fun to have a chance to catch up with you here on the morning show.
Hey, Brandon Kelly, XPO Central Baptist. We all appreciate what y'all do. Thanks for getting the word out for us. God bless.
Can we get one more toot toot before you go?
Okay.
Have a great day.
You too.
Roll on, Daddy, till you get back home. Roll on, family. Roll on, crew. Roll on, Mama, like I asked you to do. And roll on, 18-wheeler. Roll on.
Roll on! Today, 8 to 5.
Well, it's Wednesday evening, Mama's waiting by the phone. It rings, but it's not his voice. Seems the highway patrol has found a jackknifed rig in a snowbank in Illinois.
There's a happy ending, I promise.
But the driver was missing, and the search had been abandoned, 'cause the weather had everything stalled. And they had checked all the houses and the local motels. When they had some more news, they'd call. And
And she told him when they found him to tell him that she loved him. And she hung up the phone singing, roll on highway, roll on along, roll on daddy till you get back home. Roll on family, roll on crew, roll on mama like I asked you to do. And roll on 18-wheeler, roll on.
Roll on!
Mama and the children will be waiting up all night long.
Where's Miss Betty?
Thinking nothing but the worst is coming with the ringing of the telephone. Oh, but the man upstairs was listening when mama asked him to bring daddy home. And when the call came in, it was daddy on the other end asking her if she had been singing the song, singing roll on highway, roll on along, roll on daddy till you get back home. Roll on family, roll on crew, roll on mama like I asked you to do. And roll on 18-wheeler, roll on.
Roll on!
Here we go. Logistics Central Baptist 8 to 5 today. Thanks to Danny Fuller for joining us this morning. It is the K-Fine Breakfast Club, powered by Families Inc.
Brandon Baxter in the morning.
Kelly Perry, I have one question for you. Are you ready to celebrate some local people?
Let's do it.
Let's do the birthdays.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday.
Boy.
Happy birthday to you.
Well, well, well. Time for birthdays for today. Wednesday, it's April the 1st of 2020.
Did you have a joke right there?
Not just thinking about it.
Oh, okay.
Local birthdays, local celebrities, here we go. Happy birthday goes out to Tanya Boyd of Jonesboro, who celebrates today. Amy Williams of Paragould. Steve Bly Jr. from Wynn has a birthday. Our buddy Matthew Schwery.
Happy birthday.
Of Jonesboro turns 31 today. Scott Fikes of Paragould. Connor Groves is turning 9 today. Stacey Ann Richmond of Joyner is the big 5-0.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Amanda Douglas turns 7 today. And Desiree Benton is turning 20. And if you have a birthday today, we say this. We say
happy birthday
to all y'all. And you celebrate with these celebrities.
Logan Paul is 25. He's a social media celebrity. 20 million followers on YouTube. 17 million on Instagram. 15 million on Facebook.
That is insane. And I'm like, wait, what does he do?
Yeah, I know. Randy Orton is 40 today.
It's the Viper from WWE. He takes on Edge this weekend at WrestleMania.
Okay.
The first WrestleMania ever with no crowd.
Crazy.
That's crazy, yeah.
Kip Moore is 40 years old today.
Let's do some Kip Moore.
In the summer, a truck in a field and a girl in a red sundress with an ice cold beer to her lips, begging for another kiss.
Yes, that one. One of my favorites was this one. And of course, there's Beer Money by Kip Moore.
Come on, baby, I'm buying. I got enough to last us all night. And you got a kiss that tastes like honey. And I got a little beer money.
Happy birthday to Kip Moore, 40 years old today.
Bijou Phillips is 40. Help me. What is it?
Bijou.
Bijou. I was close.
Bijou.
Bijou. That's Danny that like Masterson's wife. Susan Boyle is 59 today. She became internationally famous on Britain's Got Talent.
Love the costume.
Brandon, I am not dressed like her today. Thank you very much. Is that what you were saying?
Mm-mm.
What were you saying?
She had great costumes when she was on America's Got Talent. Britain's Got Talent, actually.
Mm-mm.
What?
And Hillary Scott from Lady Antebellum is 34 today.
It's a quarter after one. I'm
Gary Scott, 34.
And I don't know why you don't take me downtown like you got anywhere better to be. Talk it up and give me the go round round like a good time tease.
She's 34 today.
This world keeps spinning faster.
I've met all of it.
To a new disaster. So I run to you.
We're friends.
I run to you, baby.
Hillary Scott, 34.
But I ain't got a heart for pretty girls. So go and pick your bags up off my floor.
Oh, here's a good one. Little known fact, I might have dated her in the mid-2000s. Hillary Scott.
She's the mid-2000s.
She's 34.
What if I'm trying?
What?
But then I close my eyes and then right back. Lost in that last goodbye. What if time doesn't do what it's supposed to do? What if I never get over you?
Studio Alexa played Kelly Perry's favorite song by Lady Antebellum.
How about, hey, baby, we make a promise and not promise anything more than one night. Complicated what? Situations only get worse in the morning light.
Good job, Studio Alexa.
Kelly is looking for a good time.
There she goes. Hillary Scott from Lady Antebellum, 34 today. Happy birthday.
You're listening to the K-Fine Breakfast Club, powered by Families, Inc. Now back to Brandon Baxter in the morning, live at Nutrition Hub of Jonesboro.
Brian Arnold from Jonesboro Police on the phone with us this morning. Good morning, Brian.
How's it going? Good morning.
Hey, man. So I was out, Kelly, the other day, and I was shooting some TV with KJ&B, and I noticed a police car was coming up, and I was afraid they were going to tell me to get lost. And I realized it was him.
Oh, well, he probably wanted to.
Man, I'm telling you.
I should have.
I want to tell you something, though, and I know we can't go into details of all this stuff. It's been real crazy over the last couple of weeks. Obviously, Saturday and the tornado kicked it up to a different level. But, man, you and your brothers and sisters from the police department, fire department, street department, 911, you guys really did some heroic stuff over the last number of days.
You know, it's. You say you guys. I hope you're not just referring to Jonesboro Police Department, because we couldn't have done it without the help of the numerous departments across the state.
Yeah.
We had folks from all over, different law enforcement agencies, state police, and a bunch of them up, a bunch of the troopers up here. Game of Fish had I don't know how many officers up here.
That's awesome.
I saw a highway patrol officer that's actually assigned to Phillips County up here Saturday night, and just officers from all over Northeast Arkansas, along with fire departments from all over, whether they were full-time volunteer, trucks were there, ambulance services that were here, ready to go Saturday night. It was absolutely phenomenal, the outpouring of help that we had.
Mm-hmm. Brian Arnold, Jonesboro Police Department on the phone with us this morning. And I know we can't talk about a lot of details, but I do want to ask you, like, what was your night before 5 o'clock on Saturday? What were you doing?
I was watching the 30 for 30, with the Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Lakers.
So
back when Bird and Magic were playing.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden your entire weekend shifted within just a matter of minutes. And all of a sudden it was like, bam, time to go to work. And you guys don't think twice about it. When there's somebody in need, when there's something that has to be done, you guys get out there and just do the work.
Correct. We were sitting at the house. And I will say this, not that Ryan Bond hasn't heard that, he did an excellent job, but he and his staff, phenomenal, probably saved a lot of lives.
Yeah,
they did.
We left our house, went to my in-law's house because I have a storm shelter. And we were there watching it live on TV. I couldn't leave because at the time the tornado was headed toward my house.
Right. No, I get
so
it.
I couldn't even go get my car. We were in my truck. And so, you know, once it passed there, I, you know, like everybody else, you jump in your car and you get into town and see where you're needed.
Brian,
the most, oh, go ahead, Kelly.
When, you know, everyone's telling us to stay home, don't come out. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we feel helpless at that time. And so we go to social media to see anything we can see as humans. We're like, okay, what's going on? What's happening? And I was telling Brandon earlier today, when I got on social media and I started going through some of the pictures of the destruction, I saw a picture of you. And you were in action, right? And you had on normal clothes, and you were telling people, there was a big group of people around you, and it looked like you were telling them, you know, kind of, all right, guys, here's the plan. And I'm not sure what you were doing, but I was telling him, I was like, I automatically felt when I saw people like you and other first responders that we know that we've had the chance to meet, my heart, and I guess I just relaxed a little bit because I was like, the most awesome people in our town are in charge right now, you know, and they're going to take care of us. And I don't know. It was good for me to be able to see that, some of those pictures of the people helping.
Yeah, I've seen those pictures. I'm relaying messages from the upper echelon of chain of command. Yeah. We had Chief Henson came up, and by the time I'd got to the mobile commands or the command center, he and Captain Waterworth were on the back of back of his Tahoe. They had the roof, the back door raised.
Right.
They had a map out. They're trying to determine where the damage was, the extensive damage. And we were trying to, along with other sergeants and lieutenants who were putting teams together, figuring out what we needed, figuring out what we had. And I was just the peon going, okay, hey, I need your name. You need to go here.
Yeah.
So who you with? But no, it was a very chaotic scene, mm-hmm. but a very semi-controlled chaos.
Yeah.
And we came together as law enforcement, first responders all over, and nobody was complaining. Nobody was sitting there going, well, I wish they'd send me. They said, they'll send us out there when they shoot, you know, figure out when we go or where we need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was great. It was a bad time. Watching the video live on KIT from the weather cam, you know, I had my radio with me and I could hear where they were traveling, where the boots on the ground were saying the tornado was at. I could see it moving. And the first thing I thought of, how many bodies are we going to be picking up?
I think we all thought
And so I figured, you know, once we got there and you saw the ambulance stacked up and ready to go, and fire departments were there, and you're not hearing anything. I know the hospitals are probably ramped up with staff, and you know, you're not hearing over the radio any, hey, we got one here, we got this, we got that. It was kind of unnerving, but I'm very thankful. Mm-hmm. The good Lord was looking out for us that day.
No doubt, man. And we appreciate what you do, and really proud to be your friend and friends of all of the people we know.
I'm more of a friend of Kelly than you.
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely. Listen. That's typically what is said.
That's what all the guys say.
Oh, hush.
And the girls.
Yeah, I mean, what? Hang on now. At least give me
I
the.
I love you, Brian.
At least give me the ladies. No. You know, one of the things that we like about you too is the fact that you're very, not only police, but you're civic minded outside of the uniform as well, with the Special Olympics. And I know you guys had some stuff that was planned to be going on, and you do stuff with restaurants,
man.
And all this stuff's been changed too.
Oh, yeah, everything. I will say this, speaking of the restaurants and whatnot, nobody went hungry that was working at the command post or any of the utility workers. By the way, if you see, you'll still see them out. Say thank you. Mm-hmm. Those folks did a heck of a job getting us up and running. As far as getting the town back together, the restaurants, the local restaurants, and the outpouring that we've had as far as support, it's been phenomenal and overwhelming. And, of course, with Special Olympics, they've always supported us here as well. But we didn't go hungry. We didn't go thirsty.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And they were constantly, somebody stopping, hey, you need something? No, I'm good. Check with utility workers. They may not be able to leave for hours, where I actually had the ability to move a little bit more.
Sure.
But yeah, I will say this. They're still working on lines. They're still working on this area quite heavily. Please drive safe.
Yeah.
Watch out for those yellow lights. They do mean something.
Yeah.
But Special Olympics, I'm sitting here reading some stuff from Special Olympics International. our even our 2020 conference that was scheduled later this year has been canceled.
Wow.
Due to the coronavirus. For state of Arkansas, everything's been postponed as far as events until May 31st.
But, and then we'll just have to see at that point.
Reassess, yeah.
Yeah, they'll reassess by then, and we'll probably be reassessing the entire time.
Yeah.
But right now, like, we had a Tip of Hero planned next week, I believe, and that's been postponed. Our area games and state games have been postponed. So there's, you know, for most people, like, oh, well, they were postponed. But for the athlete who's been training, it's no different than the athletes out there at A-State who's been working hard all year and want to get out and show their fans what they can do.
Yeah.
It's kind of upsetting, and they don't get their awards. And, you know, and for me, I don't get to see some of my friends. Of course, social distancing, you mm-hmm. can't. But it's kind of a sad thing. We'll rebound from this like everybody else, and we'll get through it.
And again, you can always help with Special Olympics Arkansas. You can find out more information at specialolympicsarkansas.org. And Brian, we really appreciate all that you do. And as things change and as you kind of get a plan for what you're going to be doing going forward with the Special Olympics, please let us know and we'll get you back on.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
One more thing. I want you to identify this song, okay? It's very important that you know this song.
Oh, good.
He knows it.
Do you know it?
Let's see.
You can't be a police officer and not know this song.
Man, it's tough.
I'm calling Chief Elliott.
That's it.
This is it.
I mean, I'm not a motor officer, so I don't really just get into the ship thing, but... you grew up watching Chips. Are you kidding me?
Old Ponch.
No, Ponch and John.
Who are you? Are you Ponch or John?
I'm neither one. I'm too short to ride a motorcycle.
Brian Arnold, Jonesboro Police. Have a great day, man.
See you, man.
You're listening to the K-Fine Breakfast Club, powered by Families, Inc., live at Nutrition Hub of Jonesboro. Now back to Brandon Baxter in the morning.
Don't forget the Nutrition Hub is doing curbside service. They have delivery options as well. You can find out more about their menu if you go to the Nutrition Hub of Jonesboro Facebook page or Healthy Hub Paragould. They have all those great treats that we love and we actually miss this morning.
And we miss you guys.
Yeah.
There.
What's up, Earl? Does that sound cool when I do that?
No, it didn't.
You know who is cool and one of our favorite people to talk to from Families Inc. Counseling Services is Hayden Huckabee. And Hayden joins us this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Man, you know, we've told you for a long time since our first dealings with you that you have helped us through a whole bunch over the years. I actually was talking to Dana Watson, I guess it was last week or 2 weeks ago, where I said, I appreciate Families Inc. for all the free therapy you've given me over the radio.
Definitely.
Hey, man, it's all about helping one another. That's for sure.
So Hayden is at Families Inc. Counseling Services, a sponsor of the show. But obviously at this time, COVID-19, there's coronavirus all over and social distancing, which is kind of against what a lot of us are like. We like to be around people and we're told, hey, kind of stay away. And then the tornado that came through on Saturday in already a trying time for our area has caused even more stress and anxiety. And I would imagine that's probably something you're hearing a bunch of it, hearing a bunch about at Families Inc.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, you know, we are having to connect to our clients in different ways through telehealth. There's a new normal that's happening. And, you know, I mean, and people need that connectivity, like you're saying. And so we want to be able to offer that to our clients in new ways who are, you know, struggling with this new normal, you know, how to deal with isolation, how to deal with fear of the unknown, how to deal with, you know, how are we going to get through this? And then what do you do when a crisis happens on top of another crisis? And so, I mean, there's no script for anything that we're going through, but I'm pleased to say that, you know, our agency is really trying to stay on top of how to connect with our clients and be accessible and available when they need us the most.
So explain to us how different that is, because, you know, typically you would think that either people were coming to one of your facilities across the area, or in some cases, you would send people out to homes or and to deal with people directly. And now because of social distancing and the concerns, how have you guys flipped the script and found a new way to connect?
Well, actually, before COVID even happened, some insurances were allowing for what's just called telehealth, teletherapy, telecounseling. I think in general, it's just called telehealth. And so, you know, there are HIPAA-approved platforms that do really good, solid audio-visual that allow you to connect with your client through those platforms. And, I mean, is it as good as sitting in front of a person, face-to-face? I don't personally think it's as good as that, but it really is a viable option, especially right now. And so, you know, you just have to, you and the client have to sort of get used to that new experience. But there is, you know, that face-to-face, there's still the possibility to connect those mirror neurons, you know, when you are looking at another person and you're reacting to their nonverbals, their affect. And so that can still happen. And so that's what we're trying to do.
So as we go throughout this part of social distancing and that, then here comes the tornado, and there's going to be a lot of stress with people in that, and the fact that, you know, we saw this come out of the sky. I would imagine there's a lot of anxiety because of those images. And I can even speak for having a 10-year-old at home who wasn't normally worried about storms or severe weather. When all of a sudden he saw this, now every day since, he's asked, is there a tornado? Are we under a tornado watch? How do we talk to our kids about those stresses?
Yeah, you know, one thing I just want to say is that, you know, when we've talked about anxiety on this show, that's sort of been one of our big things, because that's, everybody struggles with that to some degree. We've really talked about the internal aspects of anxiety that can come from thoughts or physical sensations, and so how that just sort of explodes into sort of maybe anxiety attack or panic attack. But what we experienced this weekend was a real external threat and danger. And that's where any kind of coping skills or problem-solving skills, they're just going to go out the window when you are in survival mode and your fight or flight kicks in. And then afterwards, you're faced with asking questions like, wow, we really were in danger. We really were out of control. This, you know, what I thought was safe, my home, my city, my neighborhood, right, the world is not a safe place anymore. And that's going to affect all sorts of people. It's going to affect adults. Like you said, it's going to affect children. You know, I have children, and my daughter right now won't even say the word tornado. She won't even allow us to say it. So it's the T word now. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we understand that children have an emotional response to this. And for parents, it's challenging because, you know, we haven't even had time to or adequate time to deal with our own reactions because we're having that emotional response to it too. So I think, you know, just what I would say is, you know, as a parent, we are certainly allowing our children and the other adults in the home, you know, my wife, for example, just to have your feelings, to express those fears. It's okay, you know, to validate it. You know, you don't have to say the right thing. I think what's important to remember is what gets people through trauma is healthy emotional connections with people. And so something like to say, you know what, we are in this together, and we're going to be able to talk about it. And here's some practical ways we can become safe. You wouldn't be able to ask, you know, your children, what makes you safe? And to be able to just have that discussion in a free way with your family. I think the things to avoid are to say things like, oh, nothing ever bad is going to happen, or to say things like, oh, there's no need to worry, there's no need to be afraid. I mean, you don't want to kind of shut that feeling down or shame that feeling. You actually want them to be able to express it, because in expressing it, they're actually building security, being able to talk to that adult. So
one of the things I love about our conversations when we have the chance to talk to you is I think there is sometimes, especially when I was younger and probably through much of my adult life too, was this stigma that admitting that you had any kind of feeling or anxiety was weakness. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things we've really wanted to pull back the curtain on is to tell people, hey, everybody has feelings. We all have fears. It isn't weakness. The strength is when you are able to go in and admit those fears and then tackle them head on and deal with those.
That is so true, Brandon, and I just love the the words that you're using are like pulling back the curtain. And it's like, you know, people need to understand that, you know, essentially we are all struggling with something. And as a community and as a country, as a nation, as a world, we're all dealing with COVID. But now Jonesboro is dealing with what happened Saturday. And the last thing we need to do is to tell people not to talk about it and not to share those feelings and those fears. So I love that language. I love the way that you're using this platform to get that word out and to let people know that there's help. So I just love it.
Familiesinc.net. If you're looking for help, if you need somebody to talk to again, this isn't a deal where we're all trying to say, hey, you know, there's the right way to do this or there's the wrong way. Cause there's no, you're all going to figure your own way when you find the person to talk to. And that's what we love about you guys is you come on the radio with us, you give advice that if people want to take free advice, and I do believe it's helped me over the last couple of years just to talk to you guys on the radio. But to get even more in-depth, familiesinc.net to find the location nearest you. And we appreciate all you do, Hayden.
Hey, thank you, guys. Thank you for allowing us to come on here and share this with Jonesboro and the surrounding areas.
Hayden Huckabee, Families Inc. Counseling Services. Have a great day, man.
You as well.
This is the K-Fine Breakfast Club, live at Nutrition Hub of Jonesboro, powered by Families Inc. Now back to Brandon Baxter and Kelly Perry.
Mitchell Nail joins us this morning representing St. Bernard's, who, man, when you think about healthcare over the last 3 weeks or so, Mitchell, I would imagine your life is fairly busy and everybody who works in the healthcare industry is working really probably on fumes at this point.
You know, I think we're doing a good job of keeping everybody energized and I mean, you know, it's one of these things that we're all passionate about and we're all excited to do. So, the hours can be long, but at the same time, it's a need and you know, it's a fulfilling type work. So we're happy to do it for sure.
What are you hearing from the people who are the frontline people, the doctors and nurses who are probably, you know, doing quite a bit of extra work right now with people who either are concerned about COVID-19 or other things that are going on in their own personal bodies? How are they coping with this? And what are you hearing from the people right there on the front line?
So one of the things that we're stressing to our team, especially is, you know, that they're taking care of themselves because these are long hours. And not only are they long hours, but they're stressful hours, especially for those on the front lines. And so we're trying to get across to them that, you know, not only do you take care of yourself physically, because if you run yourself down physically, you're going to get sick, and it may not, you know, be, it may be something other than COVID-19. It may be, you know, flu or whatever. And so, you know, we want to make sure that they're healthy, and not only that, but there's the aspect of mental and emotional health. And so we want to make sure that, you know, they're, whenever they do get a chance to break away, that they're taking that time to be with their families, time to rest, time to recharge, because, you know, what we're expecting is that, you know, the big part is coming. And, you know, we've seen isolated cases here and there, not necessarily a whole lot here in Craighead County, but we want to make sure that our team is ready in case that does happen.
One of the things I wanted to mention to you was we've heard Governor Asa Hutchinson say that they do believe we're still at the early part for Arkansas. Why is it that they think that? Why does healthcare think that we're still in the early phase for COVID-19 in our state?
Well, you know, you compare our numbers with some of the other states. You know, we're definitely not last, but we're definitely not what you see on some of the coast states. You know, right. Like your New Yorks, especially, or your Californias, your Washington State. And so, you know, we think those numbers are going to go up. We also think that Arkansas is doing a pretty good job of social distancing. We think the message has gotten across. And so I think that's kind of helped flatten the curve. And so, you know, it's taking a little bit longer, but we do expect those numbers to come up. You know, we're over 500 at the moment, but, and thankfully that's a number we can handle right now.
Mitchell Nail from St. Bernard's is on with us this morning. We've talked about changes to the hospital settings and the clinic settings as far as visitors. And you know, because obviously you guys are trying to protect everybody who either has to come to the hospital or those who are there working. Let's go through kind of the changes you guys have made as far as the visitor policy.
So, yeah, starting yesterday, we implemented a new policy. Well, it's more of an update to the previous policy that we had. We had a one visitor policy, and we're now allowing an immediate family or a patient's primary caregiver to visit the patient while they're in our medical center.
Right.
And those are those hours that they can enter are between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. And there is no entry into the building after 9 p.m., but then, you know, you also think about there's also a citywide curfew after 9 p.m. as well.
Right.
All visitors still must be 15 years of age when they're entering. And then there's a screening process. And here's one thing that we've added to our screening process. And so previously we were looking kind of at international travel. Now we're looking at areas within the U.S. that have seen community spread travel in those areas. And those are six states: Washington State, California, Louisiana, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut.
Right.
And so if anybody's been to there in the last 14 days, they cannot come inside our medical center.
Wow.
What we are encouraging is that we have virtual visits on phones and tablets because we have free Wi-Fi at our medical center. And so those are options for families who can't necessarily get around to come see a patient that's inside.
So COVID-19, obviously a hot button issue around the world, but as far as regionally, you know, many of us are still focused on the devastation from the tornado of this past Saturday.
Absolutely.
In Jonesboro. St. Bernard's, I mean, the good news when you look at it, then obviously a tornado is not good news, but the good news is we didn't have loss of life. The reports were 22 people injured. How were you guys prepared at St. Bernard's in the event that this was going to be more catastrophic? I'm sure you had started to make plans just in case the need was greater for really emergency types of procedures.
Oh, well, Brandon, I can tell you, you know, just as soon as the tornado had passed, my phone was blowing up from doctors, administrators, and this, our plan had been implemented at that point. We routinely hold disaster type training scenarios, drills. And so, you know, this is something that we had prepared for. Obviously, we haven't seen anything like this in Jonesboro in a very long time. But yeah, I can tell you that they were absolutely ready. And so by the time I had arrived, we had doctors, nurses, administrators just lined up, you know, waiting for assignments on how they could help. And so, you know, we were expecting a huge devastation in terms of, you know, people coming in, injured patients. And then when we finally got the news that, hey, we think this is going to be a little bit less than what was needed. And then we got the news, hey, we're sending half our doctors home. I can't tell you how big of a relief that was.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, by the end of the night when we got the final total that we at our medical center had accepted 14 patients and only two of them had required hospitalization. And none of them were life threatening. That was a huge relief. And then also, I think, a huge testament to what we were doing here, that we were prepared to act regardless of what the scenario was going to be.
So if people want more information on St. Bernard's, obviously you guys offer a lot of different places, a lot of different locations, or if they want to check out the policies for visitors and even for their own health, what's the best spot to get all of this information in one location?
Absolutely. So our website, stbernards.info, will have all that information. And then we've also got a landing page that's dedicated solely to COVID-19. So that's stbernards.info, and then it's /coronavirus.
Gotcha.
And then that has all our information related to our entrance policies or any other ways that maybe somebody wants to help or just any questions, FAQs related to COVID-19, something that may, you know, maybe you've wondered that you just want to know. And so there's a lot of information there, as well as, you know, the ongoing tallies across Arkansas, the confirmed cases, and as well as the United States. So we'd love for anybody to check it out. And then, as always, if they got any questions, they can call our helpline.
All right. Mitchell Nail joins us this morning from St. Bernard's. We appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Hey, yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day, man.
You too.
This is the K-Fine Breakfast Club, live at Nutrition Hub of Jonesboro, powered by Families, Inc. Now back to Brandon Baxter and Kelly Perry.
Dr. Kevin Reed from Vet Care on the phone with us this morning. It was kind of wild because my wife was thinking about the animals during the storm. Obviously, a lot of people go and they try to take cover, and if they can, they take their animals with them. But Unfortunately, not everybody can do that, and some animals are probably just left wandering around the house.
Yeah, and that's what's scary. You know, the speed that it apparently developed and came up with, you know, fortunately, a little bit of notice, but not any long-term notice. And, you know, you think about the pets that were out in the yard that normally stay in the yard. And, you know, of course, all the damage, fences blown down. I'm sure there were some misplaced pets, and hopefully, you know, those have been returned or been found and returned to their home.
So in a situation like that, look, and this is just kind of, I don't know, random question, but let's say the tornado goes across an area with like a farm area, right? And there's horses and yeah. cows. Have you ever seen video, or do you know how they react in the middle of a storm like that? Because a lot of times in the rain, it just seems like they just stand there.
Yeah, I'm sure it depends on the individual animal. I assume some would be very frightened and run and, you know, try to seek shelter. But if they're like cattle, I saw some going up the river this weekend, you know, just out in the open field, you know, there is a potential to be injured or killed just like there would be with a person, you know, at home. So I haven't ever actually seen a video of that film, you know, during a storm, but I'm sure a lot of them are pretty frightened.
That's kind of heartbreaking when you it think is. That they have no idea. You know, as individuals, we can typically get the heads up, but they don't have any way of somebody telling them. They don't know the tornado siren. That's real sad.
Yeah, it is. And you know, we see a lot of storm phobias in dogs and thunder and loud noises. And we've talked before about, I think, how they can sense maybe, you know, they hear thunder in the distance. They maybe sense change in barometric pressure, smell rain before we ever know it's coming. So, you know, some of these dogs really get apprehensive, even to the point of becoming destructive in the house, especially if they're left alone. So, you know, hopefully if you have own a pet that has that kind of issues, you know, hopefully you're going to be there with them, or you have medication or appropriate measures to get them isolated in part of the house where they may not hear and definitely not see the lightning,
right.
You know, get them safe.
So we've talked a lot about how you've had to kind of alter vet care with COVID-19 as well, where people, when they bring their pets to you, it's a deal where you exchange the pet outside at the vehicle. People aren't coming into the clinic. Is there anything new this week as to how you guys are operating dealing with COVID-19?
We're pretty much doing the same, but you know, what's a little disturbing is we talked two or three weeks ago about the dog that tested positive in Hong Kong.
Right.
And, you know, sad ending to that story. It was quarantined for 14 days, released back to the owner, and it died 2 days later.
Oh,
wow. Now, it was a 17-year-old Pomeranian, and the owner did not allow an animal autopsy on the pet. And then a second dog and a cat in Hong Kong have been tested positive for the virus. Also a cat in Belgium. This has all happened in the last week. Wow. And the current thoughts are that, you know, that the pets, they're probably acquiring, if these are true infections, probably acquiring it from the infected person. And they probably don't transmit the virus to people. They're not a major source of that. Of course, we talked before about how the surface, their skin and hair coat could have virus on it from a person that's infected. And the current recommendations are don't panic. You know, your pets are probably not a source of the infection. But if you do test positive for the virus, you know, you ought to isolate yourself from the pet, let somebody else take care of it, and just practice the normal hygiene habits. One of our veterinary laboratory companies, IDEX, they're developing a COVID-19 test. It's a screening test, and they've checked already thousands of samples on dogs and cats and have not found a positive sample for the virus yet, which is good news.
Right.
Because we know that coronaviruses are considered promiscuous viruses. They go between species, and the SARS outbreak back in 2002, they traced it back, went from a bat to a civet cat. And these civet cats were kept in these meat markets and slaughtered and eaten. So it does transmit between virus, between species. And, you know, we don't know enough about this new one yet to know that if it mutates, eventually it could infect other animals. In the lab, it does have an affinity for receptor cells and cats, ferrets, pigs, and some other primates. So, you know, there's always that potential just of mutation sequence or a couple sequences of mutation. You know, it could all of a sudden be an animal. Right now, though, the World Health Organization and the veterinary organization say it's not, you know, they're pretty much assuring us that it's not transmitted from our pets or other animals.
Dr. Kevin Reed on the phone with us this morning. He's our next door neighbor there on Parker Road in Jonesboro at Vet Care. He is man's best friend. He is our best friend, and he is the veterinarian of choice of the Brandon Baxter in the Morning radio program. And Doc, we miss you, and we hope to see you again soon.
Hey, y'all stay safe over there.
All right, we will. I'll let Kelly wave at you in a second again.
Okay.
I know it's all a highlight of your day. Thanks, man.
Bye.
See ya. Go ahead, wave at him.
Hey.
Look how happy he looks now.
You're listening to the K-Fine Breakfast Club, powered by Families, Inc., live at Nutrition Hub of Jonesboro. Now back to Brandon Baxter in the morning.
Joined this morning by Jeff Moore of Jonesboro Animal Control. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing, brother?
Man, we're doing all right. How are you?
We're doing pretty good. We're staying busy.
You chasing any critters out there lately?
Quite a few.
So what season? Me and my son and my wife were out last night. We were driving. He was looking for turtles. Not that we were going to take them, but, you know, we're just looking. But is there a certain season, like early April as we're going into spring, where more stuff is coming out? Is this like a wild time for y'all?
It is. I mean, we have different seasons for different things, but this time of year, the big thing to keep for people to keep in mind, of course, we've got all the other stuff going on in town right now. But if you're going to mow your yard and stuff like that, it's about to be baby season. If you see baby rabbits in a nest or even a baby deer, the best thing to do is leave it alone. Mama will come back and take care of it.
Oh, that sounds so sweet. So Kyle was asking me as we were driving last night, because he was looking out in the woods. He's like, Dad, has there ever been a sighting of a bear around here? You guys never get bear calls, do you?
Not that turn out to be real bears.
Okay. What do they turn out to be?
They're then? Dogs that haven't had a haircut.
Right. Sometimes dogs haven't had a haircut, a real big raccoon in a tree.
Oh, dude, that's so crazy. So have you had any reports of mountain lions?
Typically, those turn out to be house cats.
Gotcha. No, go ahead.
Yeah, we've not gotten any. We haven't run across any evidence. I mean, we've gotten the reports and gone out and checked it out, but we haven't found, like, you know, the prints in the mud or anything like that, or been able to see anything for ourselves.
Well, the reason I wanted to call you this morning is on my way to work when I got here, I thought I saw a cougar. And
Brandon, if you keep talking.
Brandon, not another word. At a club somewhere, did you?
No, man, I'm telling you. I feel like I'm trapped in here with a cougar.
Oh, my gosh.
So Jeff Moore, Jonesboro Animal Control, is with us this morning. Based on the storms that came through on Saturday and the damage, even if you didn't have direct damage from a tornado, there was major winds in the area. Were you guys working in overdrive trying to find animals that had been displaced?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we still are. I mean, there's still animals wandering around out there, lost and confused. And we've brought quite a few animals in. We've reunited a lot of animals back with their families. You know, of course, we've got we have a protocol we put in place for disasters like that. It's called AID, Animals in Disasters. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're working all the angles of the protocol right now. We've had some dogs up here that for people that are displaced and they didn't have anywhere to keep their animals.
Right.
I mean, they've got a lot of other things to worry about right now. And taking care of their animal is just one more thing on top of.
Right.
So we're trying to help people with that, too.
So I love the idea that you guys, when you pick up an animal, maybe there's a dog wandering loose or something like that, you go straight to Facebook and you essentially say, hey, this pet has been found. So if anybody ever loses an animal or you've lost one in the storms, always check Jonesboro Animal Control on Facebook, because they very well could have your pet.
Exactly. And we've done a lot of that. And I've got to give a shout out to, you know, some of the rescues in town, too, that have, you know, there's been a lot of
a lot of coordinating pictures back and forth and dogs back and forth to try to get everybody back home, everybody back with their owners. And we've even had a rescue come from, as a matter of fact, he just left my office. Brian is here from International Cajun Navy.
Right.
And he came all the way here from Michigan to help.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So I know that with COVID-19 coronavirus, there's different closures and altered hours at most places around town. Has COVID-19 coronavirus changed anything with animal control?
Absolutely. We're doing all of the procedure for the COVID-19. You can't come directly into the building. If you'll ring the doorbell and let us know, we have to take your temperature and ask you a couple of questions.
Right.
We're not doing just tours through the building. We've asked our volunteers to not come in for a while.
Right.
And of course, we're not doing any of our public stuff, like the shot clinics that we partner with NAFA with have all been postponed and things like that.
So as far as adoptions, though, I mean, I'm assuming that you guys still have animals that need to be adopted, right?
We do. And what we're asking people to do is, if you'll look on Facebook, everybody that we have in that's up for adoption and available is on Facebook. If you'll look on Facebook, get their picture and get their number and give us a call. And what we're doing is we're setting up appointments for people, so we don't have a lot of people in the building at the same time and doing it that way.
All right. Officer Jeff Moore, Jonesboro Animal Control, on the phone with us this morning. And as always, man, we appreciate the work that you guys do, too. And it seems like we've said that so much this morning, but we've had so many people who are really, you know, serving our community. And we appreciate what you guys do at Animal Control.
Hey, we appreciate you guys.
All right. Jeff Moore joins us on the phone this morning. Have a great day, man.
You too. Thank you, sir.
Brandon Baxter in the morning.
So today is Wednesday. It's April the 1st. Uh-oh.
What is it? Did you just sneeze in here?
Yes. Spray
Great.
Me.
Great.
Spray me. That's not spray.
We don't have any spray.
How long have you done a show with me?
A long time.
Why are you laughing? So legitimately, out of all this time, have I ever sneezed on the air?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think that was the first because you told me I'm never allowed to yawn.
No.
I get in trouble.
But that wasn't a yawn. That was a sneeze.
I know.
It's that freaking disgusting cologne you're wearing today.
I don't...
So anyway,
what? Are you taking a bath
well,
in German?
Yes, I am. It's April Fool's Day today. Kelly looks fantastic today.
And you smell wonderful.
April Fool's.
Brandon Baxter in the morning.
Country music news.
K-Fine.
Country music news.
On Brandon Baxter in the morning.
So for the first time in 48 years, the CMA Fest is not going to be happening this summer in Nashville.
Wow.
So they postponed it. They canceled it. They're not even going to have one this year, and they're going to have it next year. So it was originally scheduled for the first week of June. It's going to be the second week of June in 2021, and they also said they're going to give refunds if necessary. But those tickets would still be good for next year, too. So if you did happen to buy them, you know, it's already paid for next year, but completely canceled. No 2020 CMA Fest.
And this is a deal where there's music all over Nashville all week, and then the big stadium shows at Nissan Stadium.
And it brings in a lot of money to Nashville and all that kind of stuff, so that's going to hurt them a lot.
I watch it on TV every year, and I always say I want to go to that, and I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah.
And then they plan their trips around the CMA Fest. So speaking of people who had plans for the early part of the summer, John Party, he was going to get married to Summer Duncan. And guess what?
Mm-mm.
Now they've had to postpone their wedding.
Ugh.
So Summer made that announcement on her social media. It says, Party wedding update. Due to the uncertainty of the COVID-19, we have decided to postpone our May wedding. Hope everyone is staying safe out there in this crazy time. Prayers and well wishes to all. You can check out that post. It's up this morning on the Brandon Baxter in the Morning blog at kfine.com.
Jason Aldean and his wife Brittany are trying to do good while the world faces this whole pandemic with the coronavirus. And Brittany posted a video on her Instagram basically asking followers, hey, what do you need? What can we give you? We've already donated to several organizations, but tell me some specific things. Well, somebody came on there, Patty, a pharmacist or a pharmacy technician in Hamburg, New York, and she commented how her coworkers have been working their tails off, and basically they were grabbing chips and drinks and when they could.
Yeah.
And Brittany saw that. Well, Brittany and Jason made sure that they got a nice meal from Panera. and made sure that they fed their whole staff. So there are people definitely trying to make, I don't know, give people glimpses of sunlight throughout all this.
I think that's awesome. And it's awesome that it's Brittany and Jason Aldean, who, again, we had the chance to deal with them in Jonesboro, and they were awesome. Mm-hmm. I even have my picture with Brittany. And Jason, but with Brittany.
Yeah.
And it's actually up on my Instagram if you want to check it out, Brandon on KFIN. And tonight on TV, y'all, here's the deal. On CBS, 8 o'clock our time, it's a one-hour special called Garth and Trisha Live.
Yay.
They're inside their home studio, and it's going to be the deal where they're taking requests and playing their songs and all that. It should be awesome.
Yeah.
When you think of Garth and Trisha together, I think we all think about the duets.
In another's eye, I'm afraid that I can't see this picture-perfect portrait that they paint of me.
So you think about that song, you think of Trisha, and more than likely, I would imagine we'll hear her do this one.
She'd follow Tommy anywhere. She's in love with the boy.
Do you think Trisha will do maybe this one too?
That boy's just a walk-away joke. Born to be a.
And then I hope Garth does some of the songs that, you know, maybe he doesn't do. Like, he has huge hits, like The Dance, and Shameless, and Rodeo, and Friends in Low Places. But some of my favorite ones are some of the other ones, like Somewhere Other Than the Night.
Somewhere other than the night, she needs to hear I love you. Somewhere other than the night.
Or maybe What She's Doing Now.
Takes me back.
Makes me wonder
what she doing now.
Isn't that good?
Because what she's doing now is tearing me apart.
Or one of David's favorite songs, That Summer.
She had a need to feel the thunder to chase the lightning from the sky.
And then, of course, Unanswered Prayers.
Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers.
So Garth and Trisha tonight. It's called Garth and Trisha Live, 8 o'clock on CBS. So last night I cried watching that new movie called Up on the Disney Plus network. New
it's
to me.
Not, right, okay.
Tonight, if Garth does the dance, I will cry again.
And now I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end. The way it all would go. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the dance.
That is your country music news, powered by Orville's Men's Store. Guys, check out what your wardrobe is missing. You can shop online right now and have it delivered to your door when you shop orvillesms.com.
Brandon Baxter in the Morning.
So on today's Brandon Baxter in the Morning podcast, all kinds of good stuff as it relates to COVID-19 and the tornado damage and relief efforts across the area. So we talked to Danny Fuller from XPO Logistics. They're teaming up with Central Baptist Church in Jonesboro today to do a tornado relief drive that goes from 8 until 5. You can get all of the info on the podcast. We also talked to Brian Arnold from the Jonesboro Police Department. He was one of the people on the scene for the tornado and the recovery and the cleanup and all of that. We talk about that, and we talk about Special Olympics. We also talked to Hayden Huckabee from Families Inc. Counseling Services. And the cool thing about talking to Hayden is we talked through the anxiety of COVID-19.
Yeah.
We talked about how to talk to our kids about their fear of tornadoes and future weather events, because that's a real deal that people are dealing with, because many kids in this area have now seen the devastation in a town that they often come to or live in.
Mm-hmm.
So Hayden Huckabee was on today. We also talked to Mitchell Nail from St. Bernard's about their new policies and how they were prepared as a medical center, as a hospital, to deal with the aftermath of the tornado. We talk to Dr. Kevin Reed from Vet Care about coronavirus in dogs. That's a big topic. Mm-hmm. And people are wondering, can it be transferred back and forth? We talked to Kevin about that. And then Jeff Moore from Jonesboro Animal Control. And we discussed kind of the needs from animal control and how their adoption process has changed. So a whole bunch of interesting information on the show today. The Brandon Baxter in the Morning podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn, Alexa, play the Brandon Baxter in the Morning podcast, or listen to it at kfine.com. Kelly Perry. What's on TV tonight?
Okay, we have The Masked Singer on tonight. There's a one-hour special with David Blaine called The Magic Way. Here are the people that are going to be on the show. Okay. John Krasinski, Emily Blunt, Tom Brady, Giselle, Dave Chappelle, Dr. Dre, Jamie Foxx, Michael Jordan, Odell Beckham Jr., Derek Jeter, James Corden, Aaron Paul, and Bryan Cranston. So well, I'm sure that'll be fun. And then, of course, we've been talking about this all morning, the one-hour special with Garth and Trisha Live on CBS at 8 o'clock.
All right, hope you guys have a great day, and we'll talk to you back here tomorrow morning on Brandon Baxter in the Morning.